All right, hour number two of the program begins right now. Frank Bull coming up at noon. We'll get into the NFL draft hot and heavy here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball right here. The Royals were back last night. I don't know if you saw it. Best player on the field, Lorenzo Cain. Not a Royal. Not a Royal anymore, right? Change it has come to us here in Kansas City. There will be more changes in the future, and an excellent piece. No shocker that Will Leach has written a great piece, MLB.com's national correspondent, about managers and how their role is changing. We welcome him to our Sprint guest line right now. Will, how are you, sir?
Very well. Thanks for having me, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, and I appreciate the piece that you wrote. People can check it out at MLB.com. Basically, the overall, if I were to conclude the whole thing, would it be that the major league manager at one point was considered like the president of the organization, and now he's simply middle management?
Yeah. It's weird. It is kind of strange to think that I feel like I have a lot of respect for middle managers all across the country. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the job.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that certainly the whole notion of baseball, your Tony La Russas, your Earl Weavers, your Casey Stengel, it's always been this notion that they are the leader. They are the ones that run the organization. The buck stops with them, and they're grizzled, and they're salty, and, you know, and they're baseball men. And that's not really what we want from managers now. To me, I feel like the best example of this is look at the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees basically had Joe Girardi, who's kind of one of those traditional manager types, kind of former player and respect of all of his players and tough, opinionated, strong guy. And they got rid of him for someone who was good on television. and I think that was – and the Yankees are not a dumb franchise. Like, they're run by very smart people. They recognize that, you know, remember the central conflict of the movie Moneyball with Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Art Howe? Yep. It's like, I make out the lineup and you pick the roster. That's not even something the managers really have much power over there anymore. The roster, the lineup, the rotation, the bullpen, so much of this, you know, so much money and so much effort, so much brain power has been put into baseball front offices. The last thing anybody wants is a manager messing up their well-laid plan. So a lot of times managers are getting hired because they're good with the press or because they get along well with players, and most importantly, that they will play ball and they will understand, they will do what the front office tells them to. It's a very different game. I think that kind of old guard of manager is losing a little status.
It is, and should it? Is this a move in the right direction? That's one thing I'm not sure. You pointed out where it's going. And all the examples, and Aaron Boone is obviously the biggest example, and you could say the wins and losses of the Yankees, although drawing any conclusions this early in a baseball season is foolish. But, you know, right now they're not winning like they did under Joe Girardi, which was a puzzling firing when you let a guy go that was that successful. You mentioned Dusty Baker, 3 out of 4 years in the postseason with the Reds. He was let go. That's who Price replaced, who has now been replaced himself in Cincinnati. That those kind of guys are on their way out. Is it for the betterment of the game, though? Is it the right thing to do?
I guess it depends on whether or not you like baseball the way it's played right. The way baseball is played right now is something where managing is just not as important as it used to be. That, you know, you want people, think of it as like football. You know, now the pitching coach is almost a pitching coordinator, and so much is run through, and everything's run through stats. And this is frustrating for a lot of people. Like, you know, this is what kind of led to the slow off season, right? It's not that there was collusion. It's just that all 30 teams are basically run the same way now. We're using the same information, and therefore there's no real inefficiencies to exploit anymore. So the managers used to be the wild card, right? Used to be the idea of the managers in opposite dugouts of one another. I mean, I'm a Cardinals a lot. The Cardinals and Dusty Baker, Turner and Dusty Baker used to have these. So their entire game was basically just a subplot of them scowling at each other from each other's dugouts, and then like trying to mess up each other and try to pull one over on them. That's just, you know, I think what teams are run as now is they see the big picture. They always are looking in the macro sense, and they kind of want their teams to run themselves and play themselves out. They're almost like running simulations, and managers get in the way of that simulation. I know I make simulations sound not very fun, and I guess simulations aren't very fun, but baseball can still be kind of fun, even when running this way. It really depends on what you like. You know, I think a lot of people don't like the number of strikeouts in baseball right now. I would like more sacrifices or more bunts or more stolen bases or more kind of the way like a Whitey Herzog type of game. And I understand that, but the statistics do show that a lot of those things are very inefficient and not actually great ways to get wins. So if anything, I think it's not so much that the game is better or worse with managers like this as much as the way we thought of managers in the past, whereas they're the ones that run this game and they have to go by the seat of their pants and trust their gut, feels anachronistic. It feels like an old thing to do. And it doesn't feel like the way that we value baseball in every other way, the way we pay players, the way teams are constructed, they're done in the opposite of that old way of doing it. So maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't think, however, that this is something that's going to change. I don't think that certainly organizations do not get more likely to bring in people who will mess up their well-laid plans. So they're going to find people who agree with them and on good television. That's a big part of the job, is you're the front-facing communicator. You're the one that faces the press. The Yankees, being innovators of this, has said, hey, let's make our front-facing person a guy that has talked on television every day for years because he's really good at it. And I think that's becoming more what the job is. As you said, for better or for worse.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of, there was a number of different things in there about, you know, where the game is going and how it's losing its you know, a lot of the drama. I love how you depicted La Russa and Baker, you know, staring at each other. You know, in a lot of sports, like in college basketball, the stars are the coaches, right? They're the ones that stay there. Bill Self is the guy, and the camera constantly goes to Bill Self to show him talking to the players and you know, giving directions and barking, you know, orders from the sidelines. The NFL, they're the coaches and the play callers with their play sheet on the headset, giving the directions and the strategy and everything. Baseball was romanticized and was even run that way, like the hit and run versus the pitch out was how this game was going to be won. That's what was going to do it. You know, and yet that in reality, the numbers say that was all a waste of time. Like, stop hitting and running. All you're doing is running into outs and taking the bat out of the hand of the guy. You need to sit and wait for the home run. Get on base and get a home run, right? That's what the numbers say you're supposed to do. And so really, math has killed the manager, right?
Well, of course, on one hand, yes. But another argument can be made, it's killed the Tony La Russa-type manager. But a lot of the old managers, like Casey Stengel, always said that, like, listen, my job is just not to screw up what the players are doing. And Earl Weaver's favorite, they always asked him, like, what his favorite managerial move was. He said, oh, the three-run homer. That's my favorite managerial move, is the three-run homer, because I have nothing to do with it, but it makes me look really smart when it happens. And, you know, I think Stengel had another great quote, saying, like, people don't come to watch me manage a game. They come to watch players play. And I think there's something to that, right? I think there's something to the idea that a lot of the stuff that we thought of as a manager trying to make things happen and to force the way, because in other sports, this is totally the parlance, right? In college basketball, Bill Self's got to do something to get this game going. He's got to call a timeout. He's got to run a different offense. He's got to go into a zone. Like, whatever things that he personally can do to disrupt the flow of the game or to change the flow of the game or inject himself into the game. The NFL is entirely this. The NBA is like this as well. Baseball, I have to say, baseball is a game that I think a lot of people believe is almost better when left alone. Like, this is a singular, you know, this is a singular action, the idea of the batter against the pitcher. There's two people there. There's no manager involved. That's just their thing that's happening. And I think it's telling that it's not that like statistics, people in statistics have problems with managers. No one dislikes managers, but it is worth noting that all of these things that managers have been doing to try to make the game happen or to affect the game or then personally be a part of it, the bunt, the hit and run, the double switch, a lot of these things are their math and logic are proving them to actually be inefficient and not be the right thing to do. So I think that's kind of the argument. It's not so much that, like, people don't like strong-willed managers anymore. It's just a lot of the moves that managers were doing, for whether you like them or whether you not, we're generally not helping their teams win. and that's a really good way to make yourself inefficient right there.
All right, we're talking right now with Will Leach from MLB.com. Great piece he's written about the evolution of the Major League Baseball manager. We're going to get to Ned Yost and the future of the Royals manager position here in a second, though. I want you to listen to this real quick. I mean, there's a point. Trust me, right? But okay. This is from The Simpsons, okay?
Using sabermetrics, even an 8-year-old girl can run a ball club with the sagacity of a Stengel and the single-mindedness of a Steinbrenner. I call it a Stein-Stengel-Mint-Mint.
All right. And they go on to talk about, like, you know, pitching Greinke on a Tuesday is great, except after a night game when it's rained and blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, the whole thing was, yeah, Bill James. The guy who took all the fun out of baseball, right? Basically, it's like, I heard somebody talk about, you know, your phone. Hey, remember, wasn't it cool, like, when we didn't have every answer right at our fingertips? And he'd be like, oh, yeah, who was that guy who was in that movie? And you'd kick it around with friends for 40 minutes, and now somebody just goes to IMDb and bang, I've got his entire filmography in front of me, right? I've got everyone that's there. Like, it's kind of like information has – but that statement there is like – that's from, like, 15 years ago. Right, 15 years ago, The Simpsons had figured out that the salty ball manager is really a relic. Why did it take baseball so long? Why did Moneyball get written and all the things that Billy Beane's done? Why did it take so long that we're now, it's a revolution in 2018 when in reality this math has been known by a lot of people? Like, why is, and overall, Plankett, why is baseball so freaking slow to finally come around to things?
Yeah, it's worth noting, by the time that Moneyball was written, a lot of its principles had been in place for a lot of teams for several years. I remember reading Moneyball thinking, all right, good, someone finally told this story in a straightforward, easy-to-understand way, even though everyone a lot of people in baseball had kind of seen it coming for a while. I think that's true. I think the main reason is, I will put this gently, but I will say most of the people that play baseball and cover baseball and work in baseball in non-team organizational ways aren't these kind of math people. They're jocks.
Right.
They're jocks, or they're media people like me, or they're just like, I just love baseball. Like, we are the ones that think emotionally about baseball and get excited. And listen, I love a hit and run, man. Like, that's such an one of my favorite experiences of watching a game is that notion where, oh, he's taking off, oh, he hit it right in the hole. It's just like, it feels like a plan coming together, like Hannibal on the A-team or something. Like, it feels like everything finally happening, and you feel it's such a cool moment, but that's not necessarily the best way to win games. I think that it's hard. It's been a long transition to get, you know, I remember the general managers used to be retired players who just, you know, would get guys that they knew. And now they're people that have been in the system their entire careers and know how it works and have been working with numbers the whole time. The revolution took a long time because baseball is not like, if you had a revolution where they were trying to find out more efficient ways to win quiz bowl, it would go a lot faster than this. but baseball involves athletes, and baseball involves physical activities. And listen, I've been interviewing athletes and covering athletes for a long time. There's a lot of very thoughtful, very intelligent athletes I've worked with many times. They're sometimes the exception, is probably the best way to put it. And so I think that a lot of times, it's a lot of athletes are the ones that, retired athletes are the ones that become coaches, and they tend to be resistant to stuff because they're the ones that are more likely to say, well, I remember back in 74 when I spit in this particular cup and that was what made us win. I just know that from my experience, so that's a great way to do it. And that's like that. That's not just a baseball thing. That's the case in all fields. But I do think this revolution, I think unlike a lot of revolutions, really in any kind of field, has been done by people who do not actually participate in the sport. There just aren't a lot of guys a lot of people that are running teams now that played baseball. There just are not very many of them. And I think that's a reason that it's taken such a long time to take hold. But that said, you're seeing players now. Tommy Pham, one of my favorite players, talks about how he reads Fangraphs every day and how it made him change his approach to the plate. It made him a better player. And clearly the results have been there. I think it's just really what you grew up with. You know, I think there's a joke that everybody, you could freeze someone's culture at like the age of like 15 or 16, and they will forever think that that was the best way it was the rest of their lives. kids today are growing up with all of these numbers. They will think we were absolutely insane for thinking that bunting a runner over to second with nobody out in the third inning was a good idea.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
And so I think that's the way it works.
We're talking to Will Leach here in the program. The Royals, Ned Yost, you know, has come around to the shift, right? The Royals are finally shifting. And the pieces that have been written about it here, I can't remember if it's The Athletic or The Star, which one was writing about it, but, you know, have kind of portrayed him as, yeah, I got to give it a go, right? My people tell me this is the way to do it. I got to give it a go. So we're jumping in. We're all on board. So he's at least embracing that part of it. He said he's going to hang around for a couple of more years to, like, guide the transition and get the team ready to be back and contending. The guy that everybody assumes, particularly since he was put on the bench and he's Ned's right-hand guy, is that Dale Swaim is the manager in waiting. He would not strike me as Mr. Math. Would the Royals be making a major mistake if whenever Ned walks away, which I think could be as soon as the end of this year, if not the middle of this year, if he goes, all right, this sucks way worse than I remember, I'm out. Would that be a huge mistake to go to Dale Swaim? Should they be looking for their, you know, Ryan Lefevre, the play-by-play voice of the Royals, to be the next manager?
You know, I can't speak too much to Swaim specifically, though I know certainly his Cubs situation would provide him a little bit of background in this regard. But I would say that, like, look at, like, Clint Hurdle, the manager of the Pirates.
Okay.
He kind of famously, a few years ago, before the Pirates kind of became part of this revolution, said something similar to Bill James ruined baseball, and I don't even know why we're bothering with this stuff. And then basically what happened was a bunch of people who were his bosses said, hey, if you'd like to remain the manager of the Pirates, you're going to have to get on board. And so for me, anyone, a manager in waiting, one presumes, if you've got the right management team in place, is going to put him together and say, okay, here's how this is going to have to work. Here's how we run this. And if you don't want to do it this way, you are no longer going to be the manager in waiting. So I'm not saying it's more than it's as simple as pressing a button and answering questions at a press conference later
or
plugging everything to the computer, moving on your way. I think you do have to have the respect of the players. I think that's important. We've seen in the past managers with no playing experience whatsoever or no kind of field experience come in. This really has not worked out well. I think you've got to have some of it there. Every team does it differently, but I'll put it this way. It's impossible to imagine any team in this day and age hiring someone who is not understanding and supportive of the basic principles that every baseball team runs under now. And Dale Swaim, again, I can't speak whether he personally does, but he's in baseball right now. So unless he's actively rejecting, in which case he probably would have been fired already, I would have to think he's at least somewhat on board.
Yeah, and by the way, I threw you for a bit of a loop there. Ryan Lefevre, the son of Jim Lefevre, the former manager, is the play-by-play guy for the Royals. And that's who I was referencing when I'm like, he's our Aaron Boone, right? The guy from the booth to the dugout would be the guy. But, yeah, it is complicated, and there are a lot of things that go into it, but there's no doubt it is evolving. We're talking to Will Leach, one of our favorites here, writes for MLB.com, as well as many, many other talents, of which we'll explore right here in our Final Four, which, of course, is brought to you by my friends at Mosquito Squad. They're the ones that protect my family, my friends, my pets when we go outside. The warm weather's back. That means the bugs that bite are as well. Protect yourself with Mosquito Squad. It's the squad I use. $100 off the full season protection plan. If you get signed up for the year-long plan right now, 877-MO-SQUAD or kansascity.mosquitosquad.com. Will, I'll start you with this. Which one should I know you're a big movie guy and do a great movie critic review as well. Which movie should fans be more excited for? Infinity War, the Avengers movie, or Solo, the next installment from the Star Wars group?
I think Infinity War is definitely the answer on that one. That's a movie that they've been planning for a very long time. It's got very early, I've not seen it yet, but it's got very, very positive early reviews. Whereas Solo, as much as I love the Star Wars, and generally speaking, I'm a big Star Wars guy, that movie famously lost its directors halfway through shooting because people weren't unhappy with how it was going. They brought in Ron Howard to fix it in the last 2 weeks of filming. They had to throw a bunch of stuff out. It has all the looks of a movie in kind of disarray. Whereas, if anything, if you like Marvel movies, you certainly know by now, those movies are never in disarray. They are very well planned out years and years in advance. So the early reviews look good. I think Avengers is probably the pick on that one.
All right. The Dodgers do or don't make the playoffs?
I think they do make the playoffs. I think that I think that they're in a weird spot right now. It's a slow start. To me, if anything to be worried about, it's the Diamondbacks. I think that the fear that the Diamondbacks can stay hot, can start get themselves ahead of the Dodgers a little bit. They're still the Dodgers. They still have a ton of talent. They have a ton of depth. I would still go with the Dodgers to make the playoffs.
Zach Greinke and Paul Goldschmidt are pretty good places to start, there's no doubt. All right, will Solo be good or bad when it's all said and done?
I'm hopeful by Donald Glover. I'm a big Donald Glover fan. I think he's kind of an inspired choice to play Lando Calrissian. It's very rarely do movies like that where literally the people that made the movie, the people that were hired to movie did the 21 Jump Street movie, which was very funny, does the last Man on Earth show that's on television that people like. Those guys are very respected, and they got fired halfway through because no one was happy with the work they were doing. That's always a bad sign when you have too many cooks in the kitchen trying to figure it out. So I like the guy that plays Han Solo has been good in some other movies, but I have major concerns.
All right. That sucks. I don't like hearing that. Finally, you're a Cardinal fan, right?
Yes.
All right. Whose city has a worst food associated with it? St. Louis-style pizza or Skyline Chili in Cincinnati?
I, for the record, I am actually a fan of both of those things, which is probably making me a bad person to answer this question. But I will say, as much as I do like them both, I have had more later gastrostronic difficulties with the Skyline Chili. Even when I like it, I know problems are coming. when I have Skyline Chili, I just like you eat it and you're like, yep, I'm going to regret this in 45 minutes. I just know it. But it's still good. So I would put Skyline Chili in there. But, yeah, I'm actually a fan of both, though I would not recommend putting Skyline Chili on Emo's Pizza. Then you're really asking for trouble.
Yes, I would agree. Will, hey, great stuff as always, buddy. We always appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Of course. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, you bet. He's awesome. Will Leach, incredibly talented individual, great movie reviews, founder of Deadspin, and writes all kinds of stuff. Super, super talented guy. I always appreciate when he gives us some of his time. We'll take a break, come back, react to a couple things. Mike Socia has been around for a long time, and they're winning in Anaheim. I get where they're going. I do think Aaron Boone's going to be a big factor on whether or not this is the right way to go. There's no doubt the math has to be adhered to, but what is the right guy to lead the Royals after Ned Yost? It's something that you're going to have to think about. We don't sit panicked about it, right? Because I think everybody's realized the manager's not as important as we once thought, but it is of note. We'll talk about that next here in the program.